You are listening to Adagio Fits, Clarissa Explains It All, podcast number 9, Emotional and Spiritual Wellness, The 6 Dimensions of Wellness, part 4. Hey everybody, welcome to all of you listening today on this beautiful day. I hope that those of you who are mothers had a happy Mother's Day. I had a really great day. I want to tell you, you know how like kids do those cute little questionnaires? Well, I have a huge treasure, and it's a book that my girls fill out every year. And we've done it now for almost 10 years. And it's fun to see how my girls' answers change. But I wanted to share with you a couple of the ones that they answered this week that really just made me laugh, and they fit right into kind of my business and what we talk about. So my oldest daughter is 9. She's almost 10. And one of the questions is, my mom is really good at, and she said, my mom is really good at helping me with my mind thoughts. And I thought that was so cute that I'm always coaching her with her thoughts. And she said, my favorite food is shrimp, and my mom's favorite food is a workout drink. So that was just so cute. So that's my 9-year-old. Then my 6-year-old said that my favorite food is salad, and her favorite food was mac and cheese. And I think it's been that way since she was born, since we did this like when she was 1. And my job is to make food. So she knows where I'm always at. In the kitchen making something. And then my 3-year-old, her name's Eliza, and she said, my mom's favorite food is lettuce. And Ellie's favorite food is candy. And Ellie's favorite word is candy. And mom cooks the best cookies, cookies, cookies. And mom's job is to make dessert. And Ellie's job is to decorate and eat dessert. So I thought that was really great. And I wanted to show you guys that there's, you know, this balance that, yes, I am taking care of myself, but I'm not so strict that we can't have a good time. You know, obviously I eat a lot of lettuce, but I love to make cookies, and we always bake something on the weekends with me and my girls. So those are some really cute answers for my girls. And I hope that you guys also had some love and affection for Mother's Day. Speaking of love and affection, did you guys sign up for my coaching class, my May coaching class on self-love? It's next week. So it's the 23rd, and you can find it, registration for it. It's free. It's on adagiofit.com/enroll, or there's a link in the show notes, or you can just find it on our website. And, if you can't make it to the class, it's at 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. If you can't make it to the class, you can always enroll, and then I will send you a link to watch that later so you can see the slideshows. You know, you'll just miss out on the Q&A. So we're also, again, on iTunes. So go subscribe to us, Adagio Fit, Clarissa Explains It All, and please leave us reviews. That's really important. That gets our podcast featured in iTunes and shown in iTunes. So I would really appreciate if you would go do that. Okay, our last podcast, it was part 3, and we talked about 3 of the 6 dimensions. We talked about occupational, intellectual, and social wellness. And again, we related it all to our spectrum, what it looks like if you're unwell, what it looks like if you're well in those areas. So go listen to that one and listen to part 2 and part 1. So how are you guys doing on your goals? I would love to hear if you're going up in your spectrums, if you have found something that I have said really poignant for you, or that you have shared with somebody else. Leave a comment about that below in the show notes. I would love to hear your feedback on that. Okay, this week, part 4, we're in our final part of our 4-part series. And I hope that you've really enjoyed it. I have loved going over these 6 parts. Today, we're going to go over the last 2, which are big ones, emotional wellness and spiritual wellness, okay? So emotional wellness implies that we have the ability to be aware of and accept our feelings rather than deny them, and that we have an optimistic approach to life and enjoy life despite disappointments and frustrations, right? There's opposition in all things. Therefore, at least 50% of our lives, we're going to experience some sort of opposition. So we need to learn how to be active and accept and be able to enjoy life even when we have that opposition. And that's part of what I teach in my health coaching. So not only do we work on getting physically fit, but we also work on this emotional and mentally fit too. So when we're emotionally well, it inspires self-care, relaxation, stress reduction, and a development of like this inner strength that we can have peace inside of us when there's chaos going on in the world. And I think that that is what people are craving. They're craving this inner strength, this inner peace. It's important to be able to be attentive to both positive and negative feelings and be able to understand how to handle these emotions. So emotional wellness includes the ability to learn and grow from handling these feelings, experiencing these feelings, and from our experiences. All right, so let's see if you are emotionally well. I'm going to ask you some questions and you're going to answer yes or no to them. I am able to maintain a balance of work, family, friends, and other obligations. Yes or no? Do I have ways to reduce stress in my life? Yes or no? Am I able to make decisions with a minimum of stress and worry? And am I able to set priorities? So if you answered no to any of these questions, it may indicate areas where you need to improve your emotional wellness. So those questions again, am I able to maintain a balance of work, family, friends, and other obligations? Do I have ways to reduce stress in my life? Am I able to make decisions with a minimum of stress and worry? Am I able to set priorities? Four simple questions to help you get a rating of 1 through 7 on that spectrum. So when we are emotionally well, when we're up in the between 4 and 7 of the spectrum and we're headed up into this optimal wellness of emotion, if you are engaged in emotional wellness, you are willing and able to do kind of the following things. So you can arrive at personal choices and decisions based on your feelings, thoughts, and philosophies, and your behavior put together. So our feelings, and I teach this all the time, our thoughts and our feelings make our actions and results. So our thoughts and our feelings and our behaviors, our actions, that those go together and we can arrive and be personally at peace with the decisions that we arrive at through our thoughts, feelings, and our behavior. That we can live and work independently from other people, but we also realize that it's important to seek and appreciate the support and assistance of others. That's something that I really struggle with. And I think I've talked about that before. I'm really independent. I'm an introvert. I gain my energy from being alone. But I really do recognize that 1 plus 1 is exponentially bigger than 2, that it really is 3 or 4 or 5. And you can create so much more and you can think so much more when you are bouncing ideas off of other people, when you show appreciation to other people, you know, when we're outside of ourselves. So I love holding doors open for people and smiling at them and just saying, you know what? I have kids too. I remember what it was like to hold a stroller. You know, here, let me hold the door open for you. I remember one day being on campus when I was in college and having just the crappiest day. And at that time, I was so inward. And a gentleman, a guy, held the door open for me while I was going into the library to study. And he smiled at me and he said, let me get the next. They were sets of double doors. And he said, let me get the next set of double doors for you. And he opened that double door. And it just pulled me out of this lowness and it made me realize that I had been so inside of myself. And so I really appreciated him opening that door, and that helped not only me emotionally, but I'm sure it helped him, you know, because now because of that experience, I try and hold the door open for other people. All right. So appreciating and seeking the support and assistance of others while we also are able to live and work independently from other people. We can do this on our own, right? Okay, so we can form relationships with others based upon a foundation of commitment together, trust, and respect. So emotionally well won't be where you are always giving or you are always taking. The emotionally well relationship needs to be on equal ground. It needs to be a mutual commitment. And finally, you'll probably be emotionally well if you can manage your life in ways that are rewarding for you. And taking responsibility for your actions, realizing that the result that you're getting, you know, that it's our thoughts and our feelings and our actions that are creating this result. It is not that the result that somebody else is pushing that result onto you. For example, when I find myself yelling at my kids and that my result is that everybody's frustrated, I could blame the result on my kids and say, "Ah, you're just all fighting all the time and it's frustrating me. And you guys are, you know, I've heard mom say this. I have a hard time saying this because this is not something I say to my kids. You know, you are such bad kids. You are causing my life to be in such stress and disarray." In all reality, what's happening is it's what we're thinking about our kids. Our kids are just being kids. And then it's what our thoughts about our kids could be. It could be like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful that I have kids. And they are allowed to have bad days too." And therefore, my feeling would be like this openness to showing them love and letting them know that I still love them even though they have bad days. And that it's okay to have bad days. It's how we work through it. And therefore, my action is kind words and patience with them, and therefore my result is that I'm not chaotic. But if I find myself yelling at my kids, my thoughts, that's my result, you know. Everybody's angry. My actions are that I'm yelling at my kids. Therefore, my feelings are of anger and frustration. So what am I telling myself? I must be telling myself, "You guys are ruining this. I'm trying to focus and I can't focus, and it's all your fault." That is not at all somebody who is coming from a place of emotional wellness. Emotional wellness is backing up and saying, "My kids are being crazy." Well, my kids are being kids. Then we could have a thought of, you know, they're being crazy, but that's just the way kids are. Or I'm so grateful that they are curious and healthy and, you know, and therefore my feelings are going to be different. So I'm taking responsibility for my actions. My kids don't make me do anything. You know, the other day my daughter said, "I'm sorry that I made you have a headache." And I said, "It wasn't you that made me have a headache. It was the fact that I hadn't drank enough water that day and I had pushed myself really hard that day. So by the end of the night, I had a headache." Okay, so these are kind of ways that you can look at your life and really see this emotional wellness. Okay, so the reverse of being emotionally well is that you are emotionally unwell. And I know that for me, I tend to fluctuate heavily in emotional wellness because of my disorder. I have PMDD, premenstrual dysmorphic disorder. And what this is it's a chemical unbalance to normally changing hormones. So my hormones aren't out of whack, but what happens in my cognitive brain is that there is some sort, and they don't really have all the answers because this is such a new diagnosis in the past 10 years. They don't know what happens in the prefrontal cortex of the brain, but there is a lack of communication there of some degree. And so my moods fluctuate heavily within my cycle. And I try and minimize the effects of my emotions on others and the effects of my emotions on myself if I don't take time to be emotionally well throughout the whole month and practice self-care and self-love. I find that I'm very volatile and it could be a really distressing month. So here are some things that I do to make sure that I minimize my emotions. And these are things that help everybody. These are guidelines that we are supposed to do. This is what I tell my clients that they need to be doing. And then we work and make out a plan for these things. For example, I make sure to exercise 6 days a week. And that exercise has to be at least 40 minutes. And this is why. 40 minutes. Because from the point of 0 to 30 minutes, if you are in a heavy intensity workout, you are completely burning cortisol. Cortisol is our stress hormone. For the first 30 minutes, you are burning only cortisol. And after 30 minutes is when endorphins start being created. So we literally have to exercise past 30 minutes. So they say, you know, get 30 minutes and after that, well, that's why. It's because we burn off all the cortisol in our body and then our endorphins start kicking in. Sometimes I feel like I need 40 or 50 minutes to burn off all the cortisol, but I give a high intensity workout for at least 30 minutes a day. And I truly can tell you that there is a difference between working out for 20 minutes and working out for 30 or 40 minutes. So get some exercise at least 6 days a week. Move. The next thing that I do, and I ask all of my female clients to do this, is to track my cycle faithfully. I can tell you within a day or two when I will ovulate and when my period starts. And I can tell you, because of I have been tracking so faithfully, I can tell you what 3 days I'm going to have a hard time with, and then the other 5 days that will be really intense in our house. I have a calendar that I write this down on, and then I have an app on my phone that warns me this is going to be the time that's going to be rough in the next couple of days. You need to make sure and minimize your emotions and practice self-care. And I also warn my family. I have to tell my girls, and I talk to my husband about it often, and let them know that, okay, we're going into this emotionally hard time. So I track my cycle faithfully. I plan out every day, no matter if it's good or bad. I try and plan out my days with priorities to set and accomplish goals to make sure that what's important gets done. And this includes setting aside an hour when my girls get home from school to give them complete attention. This includes dinner prep time to make sure that I have a healthy dinner on the table. This includes my exercise time. If I have a meeting, I usually work out from about 9 o'clock. Like my workout time, I don't work out this whole time. It's like 9 to 11 in the mornings. But sometimes, because I might have a meeting in the morning, I then have to set my workout time earlier, and therefore things get shifted around. So it's really important that I plan this out. It's the first thing. I plan time when my hubby gets home to make sure that I'm off my phone and that I can give him my attention. And even time to just read or to get outside and give myself some self-care to take care of myself. So when my emotions are really good, I like when they're really good, that's great, that there are some things that I make sure and do when my emotions are good during my cycle. I make sure and strengthen relationships. I reach out to friends. I go out to lunch, reach out with my girls, spend more time with my girls, try and make time to laugh, to strengthen relationships. I apologize when needed. I'm really good at apologizing when I feel good about myself versus when I'm still in a really bad mood or dealing with my PMDD. I get really industrious. I like to set goals, but because I know that my emotion cycle, I really try and set goals that are reachable, like within 2 weeks, because I have about 2 good weeks where I can get really industrious and set those goals. And so I plan like some of my house projects and things like that in those 2 weeks. I plan and prep what I will need for when I'm not feeling good. For example, I meal prep or at least meal plan. And sometimes that includes, you know, we're going to eat out on this day. Because I just know that I'm going to be too frazzled, my emotions, in order to handle cooking dinner. So I also, when my emotions are good, I continue with my thought work every morning and my gratitudes every night. I meditate and do affirmations every day. When I am well, sometimes I forget about these things, or sometimes I feel like I don't need them. But I find that if I do not do them, I suffer more in my harder times because I have this lack of fill in my bucket, right? So this goes for like prayer and scripture study as well. It's really easy to slack off when I'm feeling really good and I'm feeling like life is great, but I want to make sure that I have this reservoir so that when times are hard, I'm drawing on, oh, do you remember when I read that? I know that I'm strong and I know that this will pass. So then I can, and when I'm feeling really good, I go into like my good parenting skills. I make my parenting so good when I'm feeling good. I try and make that good really good. But then I cycle through my cycle, right? And when I ovulate, I have a couple days where I'm kind of crabby and snappy. And then I go back to normal. And then about 4 or 5 days later, I have like 5 to 7 days that are very, very tough. And it's hard when that comes around every month. I still don't like it. But I'm to a point where I know that it's going to go away. At times I thought, oh, this is never going to go away. But I do know that eventually that will go away and I'll go back into the good part of my cycle and be able to recoup. But when my emotions are unwell, when I'm on that unwell end of my spectrum, I find some things that I need to do. I have to go easy on my kids. I don't push piano practice. I try not to push homework. You know, we get the minimum done. And then I really let them, you know, sure, you want to watch a movie? Great. Yep, you want to play with a friend? Great. Just make sure you're home at this time. Or, you know, a friend's over here? That's great. And I try not to push like them breaking rules or like if they're, you know, sometimes when my kids' friends come over, they push limits, right? Because they're not home and they want to see, yeah. Anyway, and so I really try and go easy on my kids. I don't bring up conversations that I am upset about. Like because I'm volatile, I notice things that bug me more. And if I were to bring that up while I'm emotionally unwell, then I am just throwing gas on the fire. So if there is something that we really need to talk about, like sometimes it's like financial, like if I guess I'm thinking about times with my husband, but like financial things or things with my friends that I really need to like discuss with them with because it's just irking me or it was something that happened that really upset me. If I'm in my emotionally unwell state, there is no way I can bring those up because I find myself just wanting to fight and just wanting to be aggressive. So no gas on the fire. So I have to wait till I'm well to bring up conversations I'm upset about. And what's really interesting is when I'm well, I find that they don't seem that big of a deal anymore. So like the emotional like volatility, you know, drops a little bit and I'm like, oh, we can handle this. This isn't a big deal. And then we have like a simple little discussion over dinner and it's not a big deal and we're all good. It's fine. So I'm actually kind of grateful that I have learned that you don't want to throw gas on the fire, no gasoline to the fire. And so you just hold that in your mouth and keep that in your mouth and, you know, write it down if you need to do a thought download, write down all your thoughts about it, get it all out on paper. So you're not ruining your relationships with somebody else. But like I said, when I'm well, I apologize and I have to do that a lot. I am not perfect by far. And my kids know that. And I'm trying, when I am emotionally unwell, I force myself to continue my thought work, my gratitude, prayers, and scriptures. Because when I'm unwell, I feel spiteful when I do it. It's like, this isn't working. Look at me. I'm still so upset and I'm still having a hard time. But it truly does work, like I said, when I don't do those things, which is kind of a spiritual wellness. And that's what we're going to talk about next, but it kind of goes into spiritual wellness. If I don't do the things to take care of my spirit, my emotions are unwell. I love that all of these dimensions are connected and one's connected to the other. When I'm unwell, I take more time to give myself some care and self-love. I hire a babysitter and I go out to dinner on my own or go take myself to a movie. I try and have Claire time. I like that my girls are getting older because now that they're a little bit older, I don't have to hire a babysitter as much. You know, I can say, okay, I'm going outside on a walk for half an hour, stay inside the house, turn on a movie, you know, play a game or something, but I'll be back. And they can handle, you know, being alone for 30 minutes. So I take more time to give myself self-caring, self-love. I talked to a lady just last week who said that when she is going through her PMS time, and I don't think hers was as serious as mine. It could be, but you know, she doesn't have PMDD, that she Amazons herself a box of chocolates and bath bombs every month. I thought how brilliant that was. So Amazon yourself a box to come in a week when you know that that week is going to be hectic. It's like a gift for me. It's like Christmas all over again. When my emotions are really unwell, I try and sleep more. Guys, sleep is so important. The more I'm learning about it, the more intrigued I am with sleep. Sleep sleep restores and rejuvenates and helps you. I mean, it's rest and it's helping your body become whole again. And it's so important. Well, when my emotional bad days come, I don't sleep very well. I think my body doesn't produce enough melatonin. And so I actually take a melatonin pill during my hard week. And that helps me sleep a ton. I find myself like taking a nap and even just 20 minutes. I set my alarm in 20 minutes, or I'll take a nap right before my girls get home from school. And so when they get home, it wakes me up and therefore my nap is over. But I find that sleeping helps my emotions so much. And that goes back to like, don't bring up a conversation when you're tired, go to sleep and then try it again in the morning. And when my emotions are really volatile, I find that I need to plan less. We throw in so much into our days. We try and accomplish so much. My Mondays are just chock full of to-dos because I want to get all my work done so that the rest of the week I can focus on other projects. So I try and get all my must-dos done on Monday. But when I'm emotionally unwell, I have to allow myself some grace there and not plan as much, not plan to go out with friends, you know, kind of just take it easy, watch a movie. I don't watch movies very well, but I try. Okay, so that's kind of emotional wellness. Let's talk about spiritual wellness now. Spiritual wellness is a personal matter. Have you ever seen You've Got Mail where Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks are sitting on a bench and they're having food and they're talking, and Tom Hanks said something like, it's not personal. And Meg interjects. She sits up and she interjects and says, everything is personal. And I thought about that when I wrote this. You know, spiritual wellness is a personal matter. It's personal for everyone. And when I say it's personal, that means that it's different and it's not going to be the same. So it involves values and beliefs that provide a purpose in our lives. It provides direction. And different individuals have different views of spiritualism. And it's generally considered to be a search for meaning and a purpose in our existence. I read this definition that said leading one to strive for a state of harmony with yourself, but also with others, while working to balance the needs of yourself, your inner needs, and balancing the needs of the rest of the world. So I thought that was really interesting. The National Institute of Wellness says about spiritual wellness, it is better to ponder the meaning of life for ourselves and to be tolerant of beliefs of others than to close our minds and become intolerant. And the second thing that I liked that it said was, it is better to live each day in a way that is consistent with our values and beliefs than to do otherwise and feel untrue to ourselves. So we need to keep a balance of ourselves internally, but that also includes keeping a balance of being tolerant to others and realizing that they also have an internal core, and also that we have to live true to our internal cores and what we believe. Okay, so let me ask you some questions to help you figure out how you feel in a spiritual wellness aspect, okay? Yes or no? Again, if you answer no to any of these questions, it probably indicates that you need to work on your spiritual wellness or just a small area of your spiritual wellness. So, do I make time for relaxation in my day? Do I make time for meditation and or prayer? Do my values guide my decisions and actions? Am I accepting the views of others? So there's your four questions. Do I make time for relaxation in my day? Do I make time for meditation and or prayer? Do my values guide my decisions and actions? Am I accepting of the views of others? So let's talk about what it looks like to be spiritual well, or as we go up that spectrum to spiritual wellness. It's important for everyone to explore what they believe is their own sense of meaning and purpose. As I continue to say, spiritual wellness will be different for everybody. All of these spectrums are different for everybody. It may involve meditation, prayer, affirmations, specific spiritual practices that support your connection to a higher power or belief system or God. And even yoga and meditation can also help you develop spiritual wellness. I know that for my clients, if they are struggling with their spiritual wellness, I really try and get them to focus on yoga and meditation. That really helps connect to that inner core. And I'm surprised at how much, and I've talked about how I've been kind of on this yoga journey, experiencing it, like the emotional aspects that come up while doing yoga. So spiritual wellness means that you have compassion, that you have the space to love and forgive everybody. You have this altruistic aura about you, that you feel joy and fulfillment, and that you're enjoying your spiritual health. Your religious faith, values, beliefs, principles, and morals also help define your spirituality. But the faith and the values and the beliefs, principles, and morals that you experience, like within your religion, have to then transfer to that inner core. Remember, we talked about you having to be true to your inner self. So we need to remember that. So if you feel you experience spiritual wellness, you are willing and able to transcend yourself in order to question the meaning and purpose of your life. So you're able to like kind of go outside of yourself and look at yourself from a bird's eye perspective, and that you see yourself in relation with others and how you can help others. In addition, you're seeking to find harmony between your core, like I said, your core and your social and physical forces that come outside. So this is really great, because in our thought work, we talk about how our thoughts and feelings equal our actions. Well, our thoughts and feelings are part of that inner core, and our inner core helps us take action on the circumstances, the things that we cannot change in our life. So our spirituality is, here are these outside forces, and our thoughts and our feelings and our actions are part of that inner core that we experience, and that's what creates our spirituality. So I hope that was awesome to talk about. We went over the aspects, we're at the end of this, and we went over the aspects of our emotional and our spiritual wellness. I asked you questions to help you gauge how you kind of are with each area, and hopefully you were able to kind of reevaluate where you were on the spectrum. Remember, a one to four is spiritually, or is whatever dimension, unwell, right? Spiritually or emotionally, in this case, those are the two we talked about. And we really don't want to be down on that end. But when we're at a four, we're just experiencing kind of this numbness. We're not really engaged in a growth, and we are not really, we are not decaying, but we're kind of just in this mute point that we just don't feel this vigor for this area in life. So we really want to be on the going from a four all the way up to a seven, which again is areas of awareness, being aware of these things, educating ourselves in these areas of dimensions, which is great. This is what this podcast has been for, to help educate you and to help you grow, helping you to see ways that you can grow and excel in these areas and therefore create this optimal wellness. We talked about what wellness kind of looks like in that area, and the wellness is, again, different for everybody. So coming full circle, pulling in all four parts of these dimensions, this podcast on dimensions. In the first part of the series, I mentioned that we are kind of boats in harbor, and how each boat is different and each destination is different. But we kind of have to know where we're going. So we need to strive for wellness in the six areas of our lives so that we can find meaning and purpose in our lives. Then with that meaning and purpose, that gives us a destination. And we can set sail. And it's not necessarily about reaching that destination. It's about this journey, right? That there's going to be times when the sea is rough and the waves are huge, and there's And we can only focus on, you know, one or two areas like steering the boat and the mast. We can't focus on, you know, what's going on down below. And we can't focus on the cargo that might be, or the wind or whatever, you know, just focusing on one or two areas in order to keep our boat afloat. But there's other times where there will be like this complete dead silence, you know, where the wind is not blowing and you don't feel like you're moving and you don't feel like you're progressing. And sometimes that's necessary because we have to gear up and make sure all of our, what is taken care of on our boat, our rigging, our mast, those things are all ready and put together so that we can gear up for either quick speed or we can gear up for that next storm. And sometimes there's just this peaceful calm where we are gliding and that everything seems to be working as it should. And those are some great times. But remember, there's opposition in all things. So our journey's not going to always be that way, that we are going to have those storms. And we do need to make sure that we are aware and educating ourselves so that we continue to stay healthy while we experiencing these storms in our lives. I have loved talking to you about the six dimensions of wellness. I can't wait to talk to you guys next week. It's Mental Health Awareness Month, and I'm going to get vulnerable with you guys and share, you know, my story and what I experience. And I'm excited for that, and I'm kind of nervous for that, and I hope that you guys will listen in next week to learn more about that, to help you guys learn more about PMDD and OCPD and what it's like to kind of have a mental health illness, and you know, how I've coped with that and what I've learned from that. So thank you for listening today. As I mentioned, we're on iTunes, so you can go subscribe and please give us a rating. And I feel like I'm begging, but I really am. I'm begging you, please go give me a rating. And if you have questions or comments about these areas, I would love to talk to you. So leave a comment in the sections after the show notes. And you can find the show notes at adagiofit.com/episode08. And I will return every comment that I get. And finally, like I said, guys, I'm offering this free coaching class. It's next week. It's on May 23rd. And it's on self-love. And in any areas of our lives, we can't make a lasting change until we choose and learn how to love ourselves. And so that's kind of what we're going to be talking about. And you can go sign up through my website at adagiofit.com/enroll. There's also a link in the show notes to this one. Again, adagiofit.com/episode08. And you can find out more details about what we're going to talk on, and you can grab your spot. And I can't wait to share this with you and meet you. Okay, guys, remember, you are already amazing. Your divine worth will not change, and you are doing great. You are doing the best that you can. So today, make some goals and sail out of that harbor. And I will see you guys next week.